The king of the TV pitchman died this week. Billy Mays was ubiquitous on television, a voice recognized by millions.
If you got a shower head that's clogged with hard water deposits, set it free with Kaboom. It's got the power to break down and dissolve calcium, minerals, dirt, and debris. Put the power back in your shower with Kaboom. Other cleaners have harsh fumes. Not Kaboom. It has a gentle, fresh scent.
Today we mark the death of Billy Mays with a look at those repetitive, sometimes obnoxious, and strangely compelling infomercials. So what have you bought from a TV pitchman and why? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now from his office in New York City is Remy Stern. He's the author of the book, But Wait, There's More. And Remy, nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
And Billy Mays, who we remember today, that is a most unusual delivery. Where did he learn that?
He got his start as the way many pitchmen have gotten their start over the years. He worked the carnival circuit. He worked state fairs on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, selling things to people in person before he migrated to television. He spent about 15 years actually moving up and down the Eastern Seaboard selling stuff. And then moved to television, where obviously there's much more money to be made.
Yes, there is. And given his success, I guess it worked.
It did. He was very effective on television. He shouted at people, which some people found rather grating. But that was actually something, of course, he learned when he had to attract a crowd, when he was standing on a crate holding some kitchen device that he wanted people to buy.
Carnival Barker, literally.
Yes. And it's actually it's a sort of a common path for a lot of the people that are on television pitching things. They do well on the circuit, and then which is sort of the minor leagues before they move to television, which is sort of the major leagues.
The big time.
Exactly.
The show. I wonder, he was at the height of his popularity, I guess, and success just before his death.
He was actually in just the last couple of years, he had branched out and started his own production company. So not only was he pitching these products, he actually had a financial stake in their success. And then, of course, a couple of months ago, he had a reality television show that debuted, which sort of earned him mainstream fame. And he was really sort of at the very sort of pinnacle when this happened. So it's unfortunate timing.
Here's a couple of emails we got when we asked listeners to send us in their infomercial confessions. Joe wrote, I bought something I think was called the Egg Wave for cooking eggs in the microwave. I'm not sure if it was the radiation, the product, or the egg, but I swear there was a chick in one of the eggs we made. And this from Christine, I bought the Ronco Rhinestone and Stud Setter. I loved it and had the coolest denim jacket in the neighborhood, at least in my brain. Yes, it was the 1970s. And, of course, Ronco, that reminds us of, I guess, the godfather of the TV pitchman, Ron Popeil.
Yes, and Ron got his start the same way. He was 12 or 13 when he was pitching on Maxwell Street in Chicago, which was the big open-air market, selling dollar slicers and dicers. His whole family actually had been in the business, his father, his uncle, his cousins. He was the sort of the first to make it to the big time of TV. And, you know, is still at it, actually, to this day. He's sort of semi-retired. He lives in a big mansion in Beverly Hills with a garage where he's constantly sort of working on coming up with a new invention.
I just think of a garage filled with pocket fishermen.
Yeah, he's purchased sort of every kitchen device. I got a chance to spend some time with him. He's purchased every kitchen device, I think, known to man, and it's in this garage sort of slash workshop, and he is sort of sitting there tinkering and trying to come up with something new to sell at 3 o'clock in the morning to unsuspecting Americans.
And Remy Stern, I wonder, have you ever fallen for the wiles of the pitchman?
I have. I purchased a Popeil product myself back in the day, the Ronco pasta maker, which was a great infomercial. And Ron makes chocolate pasta at the very end. That's sort of the big moment there, which you know, wowed me, and I had never even thought of chocolate pasta, and of course, you know, had to run to the phone to buy it, and bought a few other products over the years, and found myself sort of strangely amused and entranced by these weird shows that would come on late at night with these weird, funny characters. And it's you know, turns out to be a booming business as well.
We're talking with Remy Stern, editor and publisher of the website citylife.com and author of the new book. But wait, there's more. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. What have you bought from a pitchman? And let's go to Madeline. Madeline with us from Brockton, Massachusetts.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I am laughing so hard at this because I almost bought, I actually canceled it after I ordered it because I came to my senses, but I almost bought, it was a brush attached to something that went round and round and round really fast and made your hair magically, beautifully silky and shiny and straight.
And this attracted you?
Oh my goodness, they had these women on there that had the wildest, most out-of-control hair that I've ever seen, and after 5 or 10 minutes with this brush, they were transformed into, you know, Demi Moore-like figures with this beautiful, long, straight hair.
And
I realized I was probably going to be committed to buying gallons and gallons of whatever shampoo you needed to make your hair this way with this brush.
And Remy, that's part of what's going on here. There's a little bit more going on. They continue to try to sell you additional stuff once they get you on the phone.
Yeah, that's sort of the gold mine for them, is they either sell you the same product again and again, so they sign you up for sort of a monthly payment plan, so you get the proactive acne solution or the DVD, Time Life DVD series, for example, and a new one comes to you every month. That's sort of how they make a lot of money. Or they sell you a product and, you know, you have to buy replacement materials for it constantly. Hair product markets is a funny one. I think my favorite is the Flowbee, which was an attachment to your vacuum cleaner that you could actually use to cut your hair. That was a funny one from about 20 years ago. The same kind of categories kind of are remain popular.
Recycled
year after
over
year.
The year.
Yeah. Many of the products aren't actually new. The biggest product of the year is actually the Snuggie, which is based on a product called the Slanket, which came along a few years ago, which no one's ever heard of course, but then the Snuggie came along and for some reason was a huge sensation.
Madeline, is your hair okay now?
It's perfectly fine.
Okay. With the Clairol product or whatever it is you use.
That's right. It works just fine.
All right, Madeline. Congratulations and happy brushing.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Here's an email from Robin in Elkhart, Indiana. Do I have the kitchen gadgets and the other stuff? I crumble in the wee hours of the morning when I can't sleep. Along the way, I've collected the Jack LaLanne juicer, never used, swivel sweeper, which I love, X-cooker, which I wore out, Mighty Putty, which is still in the box, closet organizer hangers, which I found very useful, core dance exercise videos that are still in their shrink wrap, any number of other oddments rarely used, and of which most of which is going into my garage sale next week. These are garage sale staples, aren't they?
They are, and then he actually makes an interesting point, which is that, you know, late at night we're very susceptible to these pitches, and it's something that the infomercial producers realized at the very beginning, which is that our defenses come down in the wee hours of the morning, and we're a little sleepy, and we're a little bit sort of more prone to the power of suggestion, and that's of course when these commercials, these shows come on, and then we suddenly find ourselves at 3 o'clock in the morning ordering a beef jerky machine for some strange reason, and then we wake up the next day and we wonder
what
we're
going to do with all that beef jerky. Yes.
Yeah. Or the caller before, I guess, had the sense to cancel the order.
Yeah. Let's see if we can go next to Jonathan. Jonathan calling us from Tulsa.
Yeah, hi. I actually bought a Ron Popeil food dryer. I don't remember you talking about the beef jerky just now, and that thing actually works really great. It's got the removal sections and everything, and I've had it for years now, and it's wonderful. But I think, you know, like you were saying, at 3 in the morning, something about Ron Popeil just, you know.
He's figured out the brain patterns, I think, of the insomniacs.
Yeah, I guess.
Jonathan, you still use the food dryer, though.
Absolutely. It comes in handy during the summers, actually, and I start drying stuff for my garden. So.
All right. Well, continued happy food drying.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Elaine in Lancaster, New York writes, we purchased the Shark vacuum carpet sweeper. Of course, everything works on TV, and this little item looked too good to be true. We have two bull terriers and the hairiest cat in the world, which is why we wanted the sweeper. And it works great. The charge lasts up to 45 minutes, and the little hopper that holds the dust dirt is easily emptied. It was worth the $60 we paid, and I guess we do have to remember that, Remy. Sometimes these things actually do work fine.
Oh, there's some great products that are available on television. It's very much sort of hit or miss. There's some great things. There are some not so great things. There are some outright frauds. It's really buyer beware. You're well advised to do a little research beforehand before you buy. But
at 3 a.m, how are you going to do that? Anyway, there are two kinds of pitchmen too. There are the shouters like the Billy Mays, and the more suave approach.
There are different approaches, and they've experimented with different types of pitchmen over the years. One popular pitchman that you see on the air is the English pitchman, which is because they figured out that English accents sound more authoritative to American audiences, and they're actually very successful at selling us things. So they brought over all of these English pitchmen, and because we can't tell a difference between an English or Australian accent, or most people can't, they've brought over Australian pitchmen as well. So you'll see, for example, the Magic Bullet has an Australian pitchman, or Anthony Sullivan, who was Billy Mays's partner in crime there, is from England, and so that's been another approach. There's a lot of psychology that goes on behind the scenes of infomercials that we're not even aware of, which is what I found so fascinating, is that they've really figured out these formulas to get us to spend as much money as we do, and it's not as haphazard or as cheesy or as silly as we probably think just watching these shows.
Remy Stern is the author of the book, but wait, there's more. We're talking about pitchmen following the unfortunate death earlier this week of Billy Mays. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go next to Don. Don with us from Detroit.
Hi. My dad bought a pocket propeel fisherman back in the 70s. I always made fun of him. He loved it, but I just thought it was hilarious. Well, I became susceptible to it in my old age, and I went ahead and bought about 4 years ago a drill that was double-headed. It would rotate, and you could put a drill bit in one side and put the driver bit for like a Phillips screw head on the other side, so that like if, like me, I was building a deck, I could drill the pilot hole, turn the thing, and then it'd be all set up for a drill bit or for a driver
to
bit.
To drive in the screw, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, it was wonderful on TV, and the guy was very professional. He reminded me of the guy from This Old House. I can't remember his name right now.
But Bob Vila.
Yeah, exactly. And he did a wonderful job, and he had a little woman helper with her, and she did a wonderful job. And $179 later and 4 years, I've never even used it because I already have four drills to begin with.
So you think this is a susceptibility is genetic?
Yeah, I think so. And plus the fact, like you say, 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm bored and half asleep. I was like, I got to have it. Got to have it.
All right, Ron. Donna, good luck with your double-headed drill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to Jamie. Jamie with us from Medford, Oregon.
Yes. Hi, Neil. I'm sorry sorry about Billy and everything like that, but Ron Popeil, he was the guy that convinced me that what I should get was a Vegematic.
The Vegematic, that's a classic one.
Many, many, many years ago. Well, after it dulled where I couldn't slice tomatoes and onions anymore, it still slices French fries for me every time.
And they're perfect.
Yes.
Perfect fries.
Yes, a quarter of an inch on each side.
Jamie, thank you very much for the endorsement.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Greg. I usually don't buy stuff advertised on TV because when you receive the package in the mail, it usually does not appear as well-made as it does on TV and doesn't work as well either. With that said, I did buy some Hercules hooks after seeing a Billy Mays commercial for this product, and they worked exactly as advertised. They're for hanging pictures, and they're great because you don't need to put a giant hole in your wall, and you don't even need to find a stud to anchor the picture so it doesn't fall off the wall. I'm a painter and recommend this product for anyone looking for an easy way to get a picture on the wall. And let's go to Joe. Joe with us from Cleveland.
Hey, Neil. My kids harassed me eventually into buying the Sham Wow, which, of course, is made in Germany and is supposed to suck up a small pond in one Sham Wow.
And those Germans make great products. We all know that.
Yeah, exactly. The Germans are the best. But it's more like a kitchen towel, I have to say. And and maybe a sham is a good way to put it.
I've been tempted myself, the guy with the microphone, the headset microphone.
Yes, right.
All right. Joe, good luck with the ShamWow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Dustin in Casper, Wyoming writes, one night many years ago when my wife was out of town, I was on the couch flipping through the channels trying to get some sleep and came across Marshall Silver, Passion, Profit, and Power, a hypnotist claiming to be able to do anything from help you stop smoking to miraculous weight loss to hypnotizing you right through the TV. When I awoke the next morning and came to my senses, I found I had ordered not just the self-help tapes, but also a workout video and a vegetable chopper. Luckily, all three companies allowed me to return their products once the post-hypnotic suggestion wore off. Let's see if we get this last email from Eve. When my dad passed away, we realized just how much he loved his infomercials. He had a wide assortment of gems from the Flo-Bee to the Magic Bullet to the infamous Set It and Forget It, Ron Popeil rotisserie oven. He passed away a year ago, but every time an infomercial, particularly a cooking product, is on, we find ourselves watching and laughing about how much dad would have needed whatever they are selling. And Remy Stern, what's the one product that you've ordered you could not be without?
I don't know if there is one product that I could not be without. I think, you know, I kind of love them all in their own sort of special ways. They're fun products, and it's sort of a fun little corner of American pop culture just over the last 20 or so years. You know, we enjoy watching some of these shows as much as buying the products. It's entertainment.
But wait, there's more. That's the name of Remy Stern's book. It's about the pitchman industry. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Remy Stern joined us from his office in New York City. He also edits and publishes the website citylife.com. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here on Science Friday. He'll talk with ocean explorer and underwater archaeologist Robert Ballard about his next deep destination and what he hopes to find there. Plus, is there any way to save the Mississippi Delta from rising seas? That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend and a safe 4th of July. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.